Welcome to the Title League Podcast. I'm Kurt.
And I'm Trish.
And today we're joined by Director of Player Development and Assistant Coach for the Sacramento Kings, Mr. Rico Hines.
Rico Hines, one of the gods, one of the two gods of player development and training. He's worked with some of the best, and it's going to be good to see if he'll drop any of his secrets. A good friend of my cousin, Phil Handy, from the LA Lakers.
Shout out, Phil.
Shout out to Phil. But these two guys have a lot in common, and it's clear why they have such a great friendship. Definitely their love of the game and their love of growth within players and bringing out the best in a player's ability. These are things that just come from within. It is not about a bottom line. It's a real passion for both of them. So it's going to be great to get Rico on and to hear his perspective and to hear some of the new things. You know, we're going to talk about Spicy P.
naturally,
you know, we don't want to put too much pressure on. I'm sure he's already feeling it. I know he's already feeling it. But maybe Rico
can give
us
some insight. These last three, four games, he's looked really nice. You know, you got to attribute to all that offseason work he spends with Rico. And you said it earlier, in the LA scene, he's being considered or talked of as the godfather of LA, but also the player whisperer. So there's something that guys like Phil and Rico have that earn the trust, or they get the stamp of approval from guys in the NBA. So there's something in common. I'm sure Trisha's, your teaching background, coaching and teaching have fundamentally the same principles. So looking forward to hearing your perspective and how you connect with him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see if, even though we come from different backgrounds or our subject matter is different, it'll be interesting to see if his motivations are similar to what mine were. But we should let him on.
Welcome to the show, Director of Player Development and Assistant Coach for the Sacramento Kings, Rico Hines. Rico, welcome.
Thank you for having me, man.
It's a pleasure. You know, you've been dubbed the player whisperer, the godfather of LA. So we're very, very encouraged to speak to you today because there's only a few people in this world that can put themselves in the gym with select players that you do. So we want to know a little bit about it and how you've, over the years, you've built that trust to get these guys to trust you.
No, I appreciate the kind words, man. I'm very, honestly, man, you know, I'm just very thankful and grateful to have guys, you know, believe in me, because I believe in them just as much as they believe in me, man. And I'm really lucky. I'm really lucky, man. I get a chance to not even go to work every day, to be honest with you, man. I get a chance to go and do what I love to do. It's not work for me, man. It's a lot of fun. I get a chance to try to help people's lives and change people's lives. And I'm just thankful that guys believe in me the way that they do. And as much passion as they give me, I give them as well. So hopefully they can feel it. Hopefully other people can feel it when they're around me. And that's what I try to do. I just try to give them the same love that I will want. I'm thankful and grateful to have this opportunity to do this every day for a living.
You know, when Phil and I spoke, it was months ago, the first time that we connected and we had him on the show. We talked, I was a teacher and a counselor. So I worked with high school students for the bulk of my career before I switched over to other things. And that trust piece isn't something that you can learn, you know, that connection that you have with. So for me, it was with kids, but they're kids to you too. Like they're like that. They start young, and it doesn't matter whether they're in their first year of college or if they're in their first year in the league, or their 10th. But it's not an easy thing to develop. What are some of the ways that you've been able to connect with these guys and gain their trust?
Yeah. And that's a great, you know, I'm a teacher. That's what I do. I tell people all the time I teach, man. You know, there's different ways of teaching. There's different ways of coaching, just like there's different ways to learn. You know, the trust factor for me is I want those guys to always know that I'm coming from a great space. I'm coming from a space of love, from a space of trying to help you. You know, it's all about those guys. It's not about me. I'm just fortunate to be put into their lives, man. I think one of the big reasons why they trust me is because it's pure. It's very pure. I want them to accomplish their goals and dreams. And it's not about me. It's about them. You know what I mean? It's about this wonderful game of basketball that we love so very much. It's a blessing for us to be able to do what we do. And we shouldn't take that for granted. And I try to tell them that, you know, all the time. All the guys that I work with, you know, even before I start working with them, I like to have conversations with them about, you know, just about life. Just about life and family and everything. And I think that's how I'm able to build their trust. And I've been doing it a long time, too. You know what I mean? Sometimes the work speaks for itself. I've been in this game almost 20 years now. And as far as, you know, just coaching and teaching, 15 as a coach and 5 right before, you know, doing my own thing. But just the experience, man. I've been doing it so long and these guys trust me, I think, because, you know, it's pure. I want them to be successful, you know, regardless of what team they play for. It could be overseas. It could be in the G League. It could be in the NBA, wherever they are. I want them to maximize their ability. And because I always say for success, like with success, it's different success for people, right? Some people being successful is just having a 9-to-5, being able to pay their bills on time.
Right.
Some people some people's success is being able to go to work every day and, you know, be able to pay their rent that much. Like, you know what I mean? And some guys, their success is, you know, being an NBA All-Star or being a Hall of Famer. I've had the opportunity to work with. So it's different success for different people. My job is always just try to make sure that, you know, they accomplish the most that they can accomplish for themselves.
You know, I said in the intro, I compared you and Phil. And this is not to take away from the talent that you have and the ability that you have. But my thoughts on your success, it resonates without even really knowing, without knowing either one of you. It resonates that the bottom line isn't what motivates you, but bringing that strength and bringing that skill and whatever, whoever it is in front of you, guy, girl, young, older, being able to develop and bring them to their best. That's like that sincerity is something that you can't buy. It's something that doesn't, you know, and really, like, that's what I feel like when I'm watching your videos, when I'm seeing you guys interviewed, when I'm right doing research for this, like it's so clear to me that the bottom line is not what motivates you. And to me, that in and of itself is what breeds greatness.
You know, it's crazy because people compare Phil and I a lot, you know what I mean? And they always talk about he and I. And I'm sure he would tell you the same thing. We're just really lucky, man, and blessed and to be able to do this thing that we love to do and get to change people's lives. You know, we're kind of the old, he's a little bit older than me now, but we're kind of the older two. We're kind of the older two guys in this thing, man, and our routes are very, very similar, you know what I mean, from having our own thing, but also being able, you know, having our own brand and having our own thing, but also to be able to be actually coaching in the NBA with some, you know what I mean? Be on benches and doing the things that we're doing. He's a wonderful coach, man. He's going to be a great head coach one day. And, you know, not a lot of times that you could do both, right? You know what I mean? Not a lot of times that you could be able to have your own brand, your own player development company, but at the same time, be able to be on some great staffs like he's on and I'm on right now, actually coaching in the NBA. And I think that's the difference between him. You know, I think that's the difference with us too, compared to other people. You know what I mean? They don't get a chance to actually be, you know, on NBA benches, which is very hard to do. And the other common thing that I think Phil and myself have in common is obviously the love and the pureness of who we are, but how we always try to help other younger coaches too. You know what I mean? We always want to just help younger guys, younger coaches, and try to give them the game too, man, and try to help them out and let them know that, yo, we got your back. I'm down for you, man. However I can help you, I'll help you. And it's all love, you know what I mean? And it's genuine. And so those are kind of some of the comparisons that he and I have. And our bottom line is helping people. You know what I mean? How can I help you be your best? And I know that's mine, and I'm sure I can speak for him as well because, you know, we have, like I said, we share a lot of similarities. And, you know, just try to be good people. You know what I mean? Because, you know, this thing doesn't last forever. Hopefully we can leave the game in a better place than when we found it and help people along the way the best we can.
Absolutely. You know, Rico, going back to your days at UCLA, you got to play with some great guys, some great teammates, obviously Baron Davis, the most notorious. When did you know, or did you know at that time that playing was, you loved the game, you played it, but when did you start to realize that you enjoyed teaching the game?
I've always wanted to coach. Even when I was playing, I wanted to coach. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I find, honestly, man, I that came to me at an early age, like, you know, high school. I always wanted to play in the NBA, but I always, you know, I have a great family and you know, it wasn't all about basketball, you know, it's school and family and all those great morals and values that they taught me. Always wanted to coach and help and teach people. I wanted to teach and help. Now, it was hard giving up the game. It was hard. It was hard not playing, but I wanted to do the next best thing, which was stay around the game, coach the game. I had a lot of knowledge. Even when I was playing with those great players, man, I had to sacrifice a lot. You know what I mean? With those, you know,
of course.
That's some great teams with Baron Davis and Earl Watson and Jason Capone and Matt Barnes and Dan Gazzara, Jerome Waiso. I mean, there's a lot of them, man. I played with some really, really talented players. I'm very fortunate, too, man, and to have played with those guys. And we're still all really great friends to this day. And, you know, but I was the one that had to sacrifice a little bit more than the rest of them. You know what I mean? So I was kind of like a coach on the floor during those times. You know what I mean? So it kind of prepared me to learn different things like sacrificing for the team, doing whatever it takes to win. And then just learn the game. And I always wanted to coach, man. I always knew that I wanted to coach, and I just been very blessed that people have given me the opportunity to coach. A lot of great coaches like Don Nelson, Steve Lavin, and all these great coaches, man, around the world have given me an opportunity to fulfill my dreams. And Coach Tim Gergerich, who's the best at the thing that we do called player development. They've been very fortunate to share their time and wisdom and give me opportunities to coach and do what I love to do. And I just try to run with it. You know what I mean? I just tried to run with it, man. And like I said, help change people's lives.
You know, that UCLA brotherhood, you talked about it. You know, the bloodlines run deep. And a guy like Baron, who's had so much success at the highest of levels, is still a guy that comes out to the runs. And, you know, we've seen him out there on YouTube, on IG, just giving the young guys work. What is that like to be in the gym and you've got this old head in Baron and these young guys who all think that they're, you know, they're young. They got a little bit of nice way to say it, but confidence. And then there's just BD, still vet, and he just knows the game.
Man, if you ask Baron, he gets mad at me to this day, telling me we should sign him now. You know what I mean? So we were just in Houston playing the Rockets, and Steve Silas, who's the head coach of the Houston Rockets, who's a great friend of mine, great friend of mine, a great guy. And Baron said, man, yeah, did you tell Steve to sign me to a 10-day? This was just a couple weeks ago. So and when he told me that, so with Baron, man, he still thinks he can play and he still can. He just, you know, he's just not as quick as he used to be. He's kind of, you know, a little bit out of shape, but his brain, man, I tell people this all the time. Baron is the smartest basketball player that I've ever been around. He just happens to be my best friend, too. So, you know, no bias. He's just, I mean, he was good, man. He was damn good. You know what I mean? Like, he can pass. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't mean to cut you off. I was just wanted to say he needs to get into one of LeBron's chambers, the cryogenic chambers, and get himself all
exactly.
Right and good to go.
Exactly. No, I don't think whatever LeBron is doing to even help BD at this time. You know, but he's the smartest basketball player I've ever been around, man. He was damn good, man. And I'm so fortunate to still have him in my life. Obviously, I coached him at Golden State. I've worked with him, training him, you know, working with him during all those years that I worked with him through his All-Star years and even after and before. And then just our friendship overall, man, like that's my dude. I love him to death. He's killing it in the world right now, helping, you know, with his Black Santa stuff. You know, trying to buy Reebok, all the stuff that he's trying to do, man. Like he's killing it in the world, and I'm Yeah. And I'm so happy that, like I said, to have him in my life, man. And we talk all the time. He's doing a great job. But when he comes to the gym, man, he can only go for a certain amount of time. And sometimes I have to kick him off. He gets so mad at me because I won't give him fouls. You know, when we're playing, when we're doing our runs, when we're playing, you know, I won't give him fouls. And he's like, Rick, you won't give me a fucking foul. You won't give me fouls. I'm like, dude, nobody's fouling you. You're not moving.
You know
what I
mean? You know, once you become a vet, you just see it differently, you know?
Yeah, these guys are running past him, man. Like Westbrook and all these, they're running past him. I'm like, man, you can't keep up with these dudes. And but his knowledge in the gym, his vibe in the gym, and that's the type of environment that I try to create in my gym at all times, not just with Baron, you know what I mean? Like Cuttino Mobley still comes and Chris Copeland still comes and all these older guys. And I always say this, you know, my gym is a place where older guys help younger guys. Yeah, we compete on the court. We have sparring partners, right? We're sparring, we're trying to get better. But at the end of it, you know, if you want to stop that play, stop it, teach them, coach them, help them, you know what I mean? Tell them about your experience and how you do it, and then keep it going and moving forward. And then at the end of the day, when we finish up and we did our running and our shooting and everything, everybody just sits on the sideline, sitting on the floor, man, and just fellowshipping and telling different life experiences. And it's a real brotherhood, man, and a family in there. And that's why I think it's so successful. And I think that's why guys like being there, because it's safe, it's pure, and you can get a chance to learn and add to your toolbox.
I agree. It's no secret that you've had the best dudes that have been around you, whether it's at your run or whether you're working them privately. So now with your role in Sacramento, you've got this young team full of energy. How encouraging or how optimistic are these young guys? Do they come and say, Rico, you know, you've worked with this guy? Or do they want to soak it up? What are you seeing from these young guys?
Well, you know, these young guys nowadays, man, kind of, they don't really like to give it up to other people as much as the older days. You know what I mean? Like when we were younger, which is fine. I love it. Like, you know what I mean? One thing that I don't like is when, you know, like older people, like, man, you should do it like this. Or you should do it like this. And they look at these younger guys in a different way. I'm like, no, nah, man. Like at one point in time, we were young people. You know what I mean? People look like, so I look at this young group, like, you know, not just the guys on my team, but it's young, like it's a lot of talent around, man. It's so much talent. And I like to encourage what they see. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like I want to see it through their prism and obviously if I can add something to it, I will. But being themselves is what got them this far, right? So, you know, if I can add something and help them with it, yeah, I'm, you know, from my experiences, but I want to see the world through their eyes too and see what they see. And then try to help them from that standpoint instead of saying, you got to do it like this, and this is how Baron did it, or this is how Monte Ellis did it, or whoever. I'd rather see what they see. Say somebody like De'Aaron Fox, right? Like, he reminds me so much of Monte Ellis. His speed, except he's left-handed. You know what I mean? Their mannerisms.
The explosion.
You know, the explosion, all of that, right? And instead of me saying, oh, okay, this is what I used to do with my, nah, I let him, you know, I want him to be him, and however I can help him be the best version of himself, I want that, you know what I mean? And we have a young rookie, Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, he's nice.
Who's awesome, right? He's really, really good. And I swear to you, man, I swear to you, he reminds me so much of Steph Curry. The year, because I was with Steph his rookie year when we drafted him and worked with him a lot, along with Steve Silas and some other coaches during that time when we were at Golden State. I mean, his mannerisms is just like him. It's a quiet, baby-faced confidence. You know what I mean? Now, obviously, Steph is great. I'm not comparing their game. I'm not saying that, right? I'm talking about how they carry themselves. They're great people. Excuse me. They're great people. Very, very smart. Gets it. And you know, one time we were playing – we were playing. Baron had just left us. He was with the Clippers. This is Steph's rookie year, and he had just left our team. You know, so he went to the Clippers, and we obviously had drafted Steph. And Baron is a talker, right? He's a talker. He's talking all this, telling me all this stuff, right? We's about to do. We's about to kill. And I said, BD, like Steph, he's not even going to hear that because he's not from that world. Like, you know what I mean? He's not. You can't punk him. You know what I mean? You're going to try all you want to be all up in, but you can't punk him, man. Like, you're not going to be able to talk junk to him. Well, you can talk it, but he's not going to hear that. He's just going to hoop. He ended up having a triple-double against he ended up having a triple-double against against Barron and them, against the Clippers that time. And Tyrese is like that. Like, he's not afraid of the moment. Like, he's not going to hear all the noise or be scared of the moment. You know what I mean? He reminds me a lot of him, man. And those guys, like, so from that standpoint, none of those guys really come up to me and is like, yo, Rico, could you, you know, I want to do this, that, and the third. They just give me their game and allow me to be me with them. You know what I mean? Not really voicing it. They just allow me to be me, and hopefully I can help them as much as I've helped anyone else. If not, I'm gonna die trying. I'm gonna die trying to keep helping them and keep working with them. And I'm very fortunate to get the promotion that I've gotten. That shows.
Congrats, man.
You know, I appreciate it. That shows the hard work is definitely paying off, and hopefully I can put my imprint on this team and this organization.
Before we get too into specifics, I have a general question that might seem really naive, but, you know, you're talking about how you interact with these younger guys and how different it is and how you adapt to that. But how do you stay relevant? So as the game changes, as players' mentalities change, how do you keep up
social
with your
media
skills? I don't even mean communication. I mean, like, in training, when you have a guy in front of you, when the game changes, when their attitudes are different, how do you keep up? How do you hone your skill to give them the best that you've got?
That's a great question. And here's what I was saying too about feeling myself as well. Like, obviously the game is changing all the time. The language, the actual game, you know, like the terminology, like I just said, like it changes so much. This is how I try to help trainers. You know what I mean? Because I'm not a trainer, I'm a coach. So I try to help trainers, like other player development coaches or trainers that's not in the NBA, right? I try to share with them what's going on with our game, right? Because our game is changing so much. And that's the hard part when you're not sitting on the NBA bench and you're trying to train guys or work with those guys. It's hard. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you might be that person might be trying to work with that player on something. Then when he comes to this team, he does not do that at all. Like, that's not what he does. You know what I mean? So for me, a lot of film study. I watch a lot of film. I watch a lot of film on different players, different teams, how they guard pick and roll, how we should guard pick and roll, different schemes. And I have a vivid basketball imagination. You know what I mean? So, you know, while I'm watching film, I might have another game on the TV. I might start watching that. And, you know, people, you know, my girlfriend and my family, you're like, you're watching so much basketball. This is all my life, right? You know, since I'm not actually like just watching the game as a fan. You know what I mean? I'm watching the game to see how I can put something in my toolbox.
You're studying.
You know what I mean? But yeah. I mean, they get it now. But early on in life, you know, they didn't, you know. So always just trying to study, to get better, improve. I want to get a little bit better every day. I try to for myself. I preach that to the guys, so I preach it to myself as well. I preach know your big picture to the guys. I do that to myself. Everything that I say to them, I do it within myself. I'm very pure. What you see is what you get. So that's how I try to stay relevant. And then the final thing is always try to be me. You know what I mean? So by being me, I hope that's relevant enough. You know what I'm saying? I hope that's relevant enough because I'm prepared and I'm passionate and I'm pure. And that's how I try to stay relevant. And it's funny that you say social media because, you know, I've been doing it so long, but I never did social media. You know what I mean? I just didn't do it. I thought my assistants were the one who put me on that because I thought I'm such a dinosaur, man. Like, you know what I mean? I'm a dinosaur. I thought that when we're in that gym for that however long, that's the purest place that we can be. I didn't want the world or no. I want those guys to feel safe in it.
It's a sanctuary, man.
It's our sanctuary, right? But it's just how the way the world is now. Like, social media is part of the world. So I had to get caught up. I just caught up because I've been doing runs and working. Like, we have been doing that a long time. We've been doing this for years and years and years. The basketball world knew. You know what I mean? That's why they was there every day. But other people didn't know. You know what I mean? And, excuse me, you know, regular people didn't know about it. And one day, one of my assistants was like, "Coach, you know, it's 60, you know, it's 60 NBA players in there. It's three courts going at one time. You know what I mean? Of whoever your favorite player is all at once." This is like 5 or 6 years ago. And this is how long we've been doing it. And he was like, "Coach, you have to put this out there. Other people they need this. They need to see it. You can help other people." And when he said that, you know, that's what changed it. I was like, okay, if I can help somebody, that's fine. And people asked, he was like, "Well, how do you feel about other people doing this around the country now?" I said, "I love it." You know what I mean? Because it's helping the game. It's helping guys. You know what I mean? It's not a competition with me or somebody else. This is about the guys.
It's about pushing the game forward.
Yeah, if they can go somewhere and we can have the same type of blueprint, that means their game gets better and it helps the overall game of basketball.
Guys like, you know, there are kids coming out of high school now that have larger than life followings because of social media. You know, when you were coming out of college, Baron Davis didn't have 20 million Instagram followers. You know, you've got these kids who...
Exactly.
And it's unbelievable the way of communicating and how much has changed. Just if you think of an NBA locker room, how different things are. And today, everyone is so consumed by their phone. So you have to find ways to embrace it. Otherwise, it can be detrimental as well.
Baron had that many followers on ICQ and MSN Messenger. It just wasn't the same back then.
Exactly.
Listen, you're not that much older than me, so you got to stop calling yourself a dinosaur.
when I say that, I'm talking more of, I feel young. You know what I mean? I'm young and I feel young and I'm great about that. It's just that, you know, I'm a real purist to the game. I truly am, man. And I just didn't know how to work it. I just didn't know how to do it. You know what I mean? So now my team around me, they do a good job of putting things out. And we have so much other stuff that's coming, man. We have a lot of stuff that's coming over the next year, man. It's going to be really, really good. So I'm very excited about it.
So when a young guy hits you up or reaches out to you and says, "Rico, I want to come spend a few days a week. I'm coming out to LA." You said you like to speak to them before you actually meet up with them. How do you determine if that individual is the right fit? Because I'm sure there's guys that maybe not the right fit. They maybe don't know what the work is.
I'm not for everybody. I'm not, man. You know what I mean? I love them all, but you know, I'm not for everybody because I'm passionate, I'm pure, and I'm direct. You know what I mean? I don't know, but I'll tell you exactly what's up. You know what I'm saying?
So you may hear some stuff you don't want to hear, but...
In a good way. My mom tells me all the time, "Rico, you have to stop cussing so much." And I'm like, "Mom, I'm sorry. I don't even be realizing what I'm saying." But I'm not for everybody, and I have turned down a lot of people, man, just because of, you know, I want you to be dedicated just as much as I'm dedicated. Like, you know, I'm up out of the house at 6:30 every morning, you know, during the off season, you know, out of the house at 6:30, on the court at 7 a.m. sharp. And I'm there pretty much until like 3 or 4 that evening. You know what I mean? So, you know, listen, you got to be just as dedicated as me, you know? And then here's the other thing is, you say, you know, they coming out for 1 or 2 days. I can't really rock with you if you're just going to give me a couple of days, because now it's pretty much maybe for a show or you just, it's a look, you know what I mean? And you can't get better in that amount of time. Like, you know, the guys that I've put the most work in with, you know, the Pascals, the Thomas Bryant, the Montrezl Harrells, and all these guys, it's 3 or 4 months at a time. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, they're dedicated to giving me their game. If they have it, you know, as far as, you know, you win the championship, you don't get that much time. You know what I mean? But like, you know, the deeper you go into the playoffs, you can't give me as much time. You know what I mean? But the ones that don't make the playoffs or that has, you know, they want to get right back, like, at least 3 months, man. And I'm talking about double days for 3 months. And that's how you can see the real success. And then we come back that next offseason and we do it again and we do it again and we do it again. Because what I'm trying to do is build routine. You know, I think routine is the key to life, not just basketball. What's your routine? Like, you know, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you wash, you know, your routine to make you successful for that day. Building the right routine and good habits, that's what I'm trying to do. And so I don't work with everybody because I don't know if they're going to be committed just as committed as I am. And but I still wish them the best, and I still would root, you know, I root for them, and I still want to help them if I can. But, you know, I say we build dogs where we are, man. We build real dogs, and it takes time.
You called out our guy, Spicy
P. You said the magic word. You said the magic word.
And, you know, we're Canadians. We're big Raptor fans. And, you know, you've been on the record to say that he is just scratching the surface. And you're constantly saying we got to add things. How did you get connected to Pascal? And just tell us a little bit about your relationship and your journey with him.
Durag P. Now he's Durag P. Durag P. Yeah, I seen him go from Pascal to Spicy P to, I never forget the day that he started.
P-Skills.
It was so funny. P-Skills. It was just to see the transformation, man. It's been amazing. It's been an amazing thing. And I'm so very happy to be in his life still and to see him doing what he's doing, man. I'm very proud of him. And he is just scratching the surface. He's going to continue to improve and get better. It's a lot going on in the world right now, right? We got a lot of things going on. So, you know, and this past offseason was cut short again. You know what I mean? We only got, I'm going to work backwards. So the last two offseasons, last offseason only got about a month with him because you guys won the championship, right? We won the championship and it was great. So I only got like a month with him. Now, normally I get 3 months with him, you know what I mean? But I only got like, you know, 4 weeks with him last off season. This past off season, same thing. Only got a month with him, you know, because of the virus. And then, you know, they started, we were scheduled to be together longer, right? But then the season started, like, you know, they said we got to come back in, what was it, November or October. We had to come back early to start the season. We were thinking we were going to start the season in like January, right around now, you know, so we would have more time. So, you know, cut out off season short. And I wanted to spend more time with him, but I met him through his agent. His agent, who's a very close friend of mine, played with him at UCLA. Said, "Yo, you know, I have a kid that I'm gonna sign from Mexico State." I hadn't heard of him. You know, I've never heard of him before in my life. He said, "I'm gonna bring him out." You know, I'm working with a whole lot of people at the time. And he said, "I'm gonna bring him, and you know, I want you to work with him. Tell me what you think. You know, tell me what you think," kind of thing. So he came and I went through a little workout, and then because I believe in my plan, and you know, I believe in working out and playing. You know what I mean? I believe in working out, lifting, playing, all of that, conditioning, all of that. It's all in one day. You know what I mean? This is the blueprint. You got to do that. You got to work out, get something to eat, go do your strength and conditioning, you know, lifting, running, whatever you do with your strength and conditioning coach. Then you come back and then we play. So this is a whole day thing, you know what I mean? That's a part of the blueprint. So he went through it the first day, and the number one thing that stood out to me was he was fast as hell. He was fast, man. He was really, really fast, and he was athletic. The skills, the P skills part wasn't there yet at all. The skills wasn't there yet at all. But maybe just a spicy attitude. No, he's a great, he's a great person. But you could see his movement on the court, and he had an imagination. Like he wanted to do, like he wanted to do it. He just couldn't do it yet. You know what I mean? You could see that it was there. You know, and he was still a raw talent. He hadn't played that much basketball. You know, he hadn't played a lot of basketball in his life. But when we got to playing and stuff, he made every winning play, rebounding, rotating, doing all the little stuff, because he was trying to win every game. All he wanted to do was try to win. You know what I mean? And that's the type of attitude I like. I love those type of attitudes. Now we got something to work with, right? So he was thinking about going back to school. He still was, you know, he wasn't, you know, he was thinking about, I told his brother, you'll be a fool if you go back to college, because I thought he was good enough. You know what I mean? Like, so the minute his eyes just lit up, like, you know, when I said it. And I said, it's going to take some work, but let's just get to it. You know what I mean? Let's just get to it. You shouldn't go back to school, man. You're good enough to play in the NBA and be a really good player. And since that day, man, we've been since that day in the gym, that day, you know, he ended up going somewhere, and then he came back a couple of days and we got to work, and we've been working ever since, man. We've been working ever since. It's been some, you know, some tough times in the gym, but he was totally dedicated to it. I mean, hardest working guy I've ever been around by far. And I've worked with a lot of people. I'm talking about double days, the times that, you know, you guys would lose out early and, you know, to Cleveland, like, you know, back then. And he would come right away. He would come right away, man. He was like the next day he would be on a plane back in the gym, double days for 3 months at a time, man. Like his work ethic is impeccable. And now you're starting to see the fruits of his hard work. Cause he's worked his butt off, man, from a guy who couldn't shoot at all. I used to be running around the gym, look, man, balls just flying everywhere. He's bricking so much, you know, and, you know, to his credit, he's a self-made player. This man has made himself, and that's not me, that's him, man, his hard work. And he should be praised for that. The work that he's put into himself to see his vision come true, because he always believed in himself. You know, he didn't want to be known as a typical back to the basket jump hook player. He wanted to show his skills. So I said, okay. He used to be frustrated, you know, sometimes that, you know, that when he first came in, kind of, he always wanted to push the ball. He believed that he could grab rebounding and push and make plays. I said, okay, well, you know, I'm a coach. So let's prove it to. You know what I mean? I think just like his coach thinks, right? Okay. So we have to build trust in your head, in your coach, which is Coach Casey at the time. We have to build trust in him. You know, and the Raptors organization do a great job. They would always come out all summer and check on him. And Coach Casey would come and even to this day, the Coach Nurse and all, they would come and check on him and be there and spend time with him. Great organization. They do a great job with player development and helping those guys, putting them in the right situations. So I said, okay, let's just tighten up your handle. Let's tighten it up. Cause he's kind of, you know, he's all over, you know, long and gangly and kind of everywhere. So we just need to compact everything, make everything compact and tight and tighten it up. And he worked on it, man. And at the same time, like I said, the organization, you know, with Phil being there at the time too. So he would leave one person and go to another person. Yeah. So it was just like, what a great opportunity for P, right? You know, he would be with me and then he's with him. It's awesome, right? So the Raptors did a great job of putting the pieces around him as far as from a player development standpoint to help him out.
So from a player development standpoint, you know, you talked about the shortened season in 2019. Well, that was for a good cause because the Raptors had won and, you know, they were doing their thing. But come back to 2019-2020 season. Yeah. Right. God, I don't even know what year it is.
Yeah. You got it. You got it.
You know, it was the pandemic. There was a lot of things that happened. So, and on our show, we talk quite a bit about mental health and the importance of keeping your head clear and your head strong. And it's one thing when you're dealing with personal loss or personal strife, but our NBA, like so many of us, we're a part of a globalized social justice situation. That is not new to the majority of African Americans, but definitely had a world, the whole world watching as we sat quarantined in our homes with the murder of George Floyd and everything that happened after the fact. And We're moving forward and watching the states. We're watching you guys from up here in Canada and seeing what happened at the Capitol building last week and seeing. And I know that we're short for time, so I don't want to get too much into get too preachy about this. But the things that people are mad about right now in terms of the Capitol are not what they should be mad about. They should be looking at what the response to Black Lives Matter protests and when women come up and protest and all these other scary groups, as opposed to the scary group that came and actually took over the Capitol last week. But anyway, from your perspective, from player development, whether it's with the Kings or whether it's Siakam going into the bubble or any of the other guys that you work with, how do you incorporate that head game, that mental game, and help them work through those issues in order to perform on the court?
You know what? I deal more with the mental than I do with anything else. That's why I said conversations that I have with guys, and because my job is always trying to build their confidence. You know, I'm not trying to tear them down. I'm trying to make them think they're better than what they are in life, not just on the court. You know what I mean? So I think it's about 90% mental. Like, these guys have already been blessed with a talent and sprinkled with a talent from God, right? that's just from God. So my job is to help them with their mental, the mental side of it. You know what I mean? As far as from a mental conditioning, you know, mental conditioning standpoint. And that's definitely a part of player development for me. Listen, man, we were stuck in the house. You know, they pulled us off the court, right? We were about to play last season. I think it was like March 11th, March 12th. They pulled us off the court right before we were about to play the Pelicans on ESPN. So you don't know what to think, right? You don't know, you know. And next thing you know, week later, it's a mandatory stay home. Nobody can do nothing, right? So it was the first time in my life I hadn't been on a basketball court, like, 4 days, like, you know what I mean? 4 straight days. Normally, I never take vacations. You know how, you know, we're always on the court. I had never not been on the court more than 4 days. You know what I mean? So it messed with me for a second, right? So I said, okay, you know, first things first, we're healthy. So now I got to make sure my family is good. And all my, and when I say family, I'm talking about all the guys that I love, and I still call them my babies. Pascal, they're like my kids, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? So I still got to check on those guys every day, right? So now we're starting to learn how to do this stuff right here. I had no idea how to Zoom. I'd never even heard of it. I barely knew how to FaceTime.
Neither did
so
we.
Now, yeah. So now we got to try to, now, okay, how can I figure out to check on these 40 guys all the time, 50 dudes, you know what I mean, including our team, guys that's, you know, that I work with in the off season and all this, you know, by FaceTime and all these type of things. And, you know, affecting people different. You know what I mean? That's why I'm like, you know, people are talking like, yo, this is not regular times. And when people get discussing people or the bubble and how they playing and this, that, and I'm like, are y'all kidding me right now? Some of these guys hadn't touched the basketball in 3 months. You know what I mean? Some of them are literally stuck in their houses. Now, if you were lucky, you maybe had a private gym, you had a gym at your home or a court, but some people did it. You know what I mean? Some people did it, and then some people just didn't know what was next, you know? So checking on those guys was crucial for me. And then on top of that, you know, we were dealing with, you know, all the Black Lives Matter, the unrest, the racial divide that was going on around here, man. It was bad, right? For me, listen, I've always said, always leave from a place of love first. You know what I mean? Treat people how you want to be treated, no matter what color, what gender, what, no matter what. You know what I mean? Just treat people with love. Treat people with respect. Treat people the way you want to be treated, and come from a place of love first and foremost, right? The stuff that's going on now in our world with how people are, the other side is acting, man, I think it's ugly. I think it's nasty. I don't think it's a place for that. And I think some people should pay for that. You know what I mean? I think some people should pay for that because it's not right. And to see the stuff, you know, I'm a good friend with Steven Jackson. He's one of my close friends, right?
Yeah.
And he and George Floyd were like this, like, you know, he called him his twin, and he still, you know, we talk all the time, Steven and the rest of us, we talk a lot, you know, and that's my brother, and I'm always here to help him. If he need me, I'm here. And he's doing a great job on the forefront of trying to lead us, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we didn't really know what to do, you know what I mean? And he just took it by the horn. He's doing an amazing job of trying to help out the best way he can. And I'm down for him, and I'm always support whatever he has going on with all that. So I hope I answered your question a little bit. You know what I mean? That's just it's a touchy subject because I could go on forever about that for me. You know what I mean? Because I'm real big on helping people. You know what I mean? Black people, black men for sure, black women for sure. But I'm all about helping everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But everybody can't be helped. Until that's for me, right? I believe in, but first and foremost, I think that that things have to be changed from a privilege standpoint, and people understanding that how I live my life and how I've been living my life is I understand this, and it shouldn't be like this. I understand that I as a black man, as a black coach, I understand that I have to be 10 times better than maybe a white coach. I understand that. That's how I live my life. And it shouldn't be like that. You know what I mean? And we get so brainwashed and I've always like said, this is what I just got to do. Right. I didn't think nothing of it. Like, I just got to be better. But, you know, going forward, it's like, even during all that time, I was like, damn, why do I think like that? Why do I have to think like that? I shouldn't have to think like that. You know what I mean? Because I don't treat people, you know, bad or do bad things to people and stuff like that. So I shouldn't have to feel that I got to be 10 times better than a white coach just because I'm black and he's white. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. But so hopefully we can do something to make things better. I know it might not happen in my lifetime, but you know,
we got to keep advocating and we got to keep pushing. It can't die. It's not a movement. It's here and it's not going away.
Yeah, we just need to make sure that we encourage everybody to keep using their platforms even after social media has moved on to something else. Every single one of you, in the various leagues or in professional sports, we idolize you. You have
I like your sweatshirt too.
Oh, that's thanks, right. Yeah, our girls.
I got it.
But you know, your reach goes beyond anything that one politician or one individual can accomplish. Yeah. And it's just a matter of making sure that you guys keep your messages strong and keep going.
We will, Rico.
We're wrapping up on time. I got to pass it over to Trish for some questions, but I got two rapid fire questions and we could talk forever on them. So I just want to know what comes to mind when you hear the following two. So one, being in LA for as long as you've been, or California, I should say, what comes to mind when you think of Kobe? And two, what it comes to mind or what is the word when you think of the future of the women's game?
Oh man. When I think of Kobe, I think of a legend. I think you know, the crazy thing is for me, when I think of Kobe, man, I think of a couple things come to mind. I think of how he changed his life as far as being being with his daughters and being a family man. Cause he was such a, you know what I mean? He was such a killer on the court and such a worker. And he just, you know, when it was over, he just, you know, boom, right to his family, man. And I admire him for that. And then the second thing, when I think of Kobe, I think about the one time that I had a chance to work with him and a good friend. He's obviously he was a friend of mine, but at one time I had a chance to work with him. Matt Barnes, I was coaching at St. John's and Matt Barnes called me and said, Kobe's coming in town. He's about to call you. He wants to work out. And I said, cool. So he calls me like literally 30 seconds after that. He said, Reek, it's Kobe. I said, I know, man, what's up? He said, I'm coming to New York. I'll be there tomorrow. I want to get in the gym. I said, I'm there. He said, you know, I want to be, he said, but I need to be on the court at 6 a.m. I said, I'll be there. You know what I mean? I'll be there, man. And he was coming off an Achilles injury. And, he spent an hour on the, you know, on the track running with Tim Grover. And then, he spent, you know, he came onto the court and I'm about to work him out. Like, we're about to get some work in. He was like, nah, Rick, I don't really want to do all that. I just want to focus on my footwork. And he literally shot different type shots for at least an hour, bank shots. I mean, every shot you can imagine. So it wasn't even a workout for me. I was just pretty much just passing him the ball. So that's one story I think about with him. I always will cherish that, man. And God bless him and his family. And women's basketball. Oh, man.
Just the first word. Where is it going?
To the moon. To the moon,
it.
Man.
Rep
to the moon. I coach with a wonderful lady named Lindsay Harden. She was the first pick in the WNBA. I love her to death, man. I work with her every day. She just sent me a text about something, and I think that she's going to be her knowledge of the game is way beyond mine. She sees stuff in a whole different prism, and I'm just fortunate to be around her. So I think the women's game is to the moon.
Love it.
Okay, so I have really quick questions. I just hope Kyla doesn't get mad at me because it's now we're now 2 minutes over your time. Think quick. No right or wrong answer. Just the first thought that comes to your mind, and it has nothing to do with basketball. So, if you were to write your autobiography today, what would you title it?
Know Your Big Picture.
Yes.
Nice. And who would you get to play you in the movie?
Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, hey. Good choice. Okay, any TV show, past or present, that reminds you the most of your life?
Remind me of most of my life. No, not really. Reminds me of my life TV show, but I love San Francisco.
Oh,
there we go.
What did he used to say? I'm coming, Elizabeth. Is that what it's
like? Coming, Elizabeth. Yeah. I love that show, man.
Awesome. Rico, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and chat with us. And maybe we'll try. Well, I would love to get you on again when we have a little bit more time to dig into a few more things. But we appreciate you and love what you're doing. And best of luck with everything.
Thank you guys for having me, man. Anytime you need me, man, I'll be there, man. And you guys stay safe, okay?
Thanks,
Rico. Keep pushing the game forward. Thanks for tuning in to the Title League podcast. Join Trish and I every week as we take you into the lives of the players and personnel from the WNBA and the NBA. Tune in wherever you find your podcasts.